Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll bring on a guy who knows the league better than I do. There aren't all that many of them, but I'm pretty damn sure the guy we're going to talk to next does, because he's been covering it day in and day out for decades now. Hall of Fame selector, Florida football insider, and football author Jason Cole joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Ben, Jace.
I'm fantastic, and author of the new biography on John Elway. Just came out.
So I understand. Elway, A Relentless Life. How long in the making? What was the germ of the idea that pushed you to do it? How difficult a task was it?
About 7 years, 200 interviews. The last 2 years have been mostly editing the book and getting it ready, but really, 4 or 5 years of really hard work on it. I went to college with the guy, but I think the thing that the germination of the idea really comes from this second part of his life, being an executive and the desire to get back into it. But obviously, he was a great player, and there are lots of great books about people's careers. I don't want to shortchange that, but the fact that he wanted to come back and continue to compete when most people don't do this. Most people are like, yeah, I'm good. I won Super Bowls. I'm in the Hall of Fame. People will just pay me to be me, and I'll make a lot of money in business. They don't want to be GMs and vice presidents of football operations and go to the combine, go to the Senior Bowl and scout players. Like, that's not their idea of a good time. He wants to do it. He's uber competitive. And as I point out in the book, there are only two people in the history of the NFL who've ever won a Super Bowl as a player, gone to the Hall of Fame, and then come back as either an executive or a head coach and help the team win another Super Bowl. And that's Elway and Mike Ditka. So we're talking about a very short list of high-achieving human beings.
That's pretty good. Two quick questions on the book, then I got some NFL 2020 question for you. Number one, if you've known him for a long time, dating back to when he was in college, and have had, as you said, upwards of 200 interviews to get this book together, How close was he to actually pursuing a baseball career?
Not really that close, I don't think. I think he would have done it if the Colts had not traded him. He would have played baseball, but I think he probably would have played baseball and then gone back in the draft in 84. Because if you remember, the 84 draft had no quarterbacks going in the first round. Boomer Esiason was the first quarterback taken in that draft. That was in the second round. So he would have been the number one overall pick in 84. So it wouldn't have changed anything. It just would have delayed the start of his career by a year. So I think he learned, that season they played in Oneonta in the New York Penn League, baseball's a grind. And he loved baseball. And if he had never ended up going to high school in Los Angeles and playing in a very path-based, quarterback-friendly system that he played in high school for a couple of years, he might have ended up playing baseball. That's just sort of the luck of the draw, and that's one of the things I talk about in the book. It's sort of the connections that go in the book. But I don't really think he was all that close to being a baseball player once he was a quarterback.
It was a nice little leverage tool for him to end up where he ended up rather than where he didn't want to end up, and more power to him for that. You made mention of the fact that he has achieved something that only one other person, Mike Ditka, has, Super Bowl as a player and a major player off the field, be it coach or general manager. But his general manager tenure has had some up and downs, and the down is that the biggest down for me is he has not been able to find, acknowledge, procure, scout, whatever word you want to use to describe it, the next John Elway. He went out and talked Peyton Manning when he had an injury and didn't know if he was going to be able to continue to compete. He convinced him to come to Denver and take a shot, and damn if he didn't deliver the Super Bowl. But he's had several shots at picking quarterbacks in drafts since he's taken over as the head of player decisions for the Denver Broncos. How frustrating is that to him?
Incredibly. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and he hasn't been able to pick out a quarterback. And everybody sits there and says, well, you should be able to do it. I think it's just proof that it's really hard to do. there's not a lot of human beings in the history of this league who picked a lot of great quarterbacks. Andy Reid, you know, took McNabb, you know, who's probably a step removed from being a Hall of Famer, maybe a step or two removed from being a Hall of Famer. He took some other guys who were, you know, pretty good, like Kevin Cobb, and, you know, A.J. Feely was okay. You know, got Alex Smith, did a nice job when he got Michael Vick, and obviously he drafted, you know, Patrick Mahomes, who appears to be on a Hall of Fame path, but, you know, it's still pretty early for Mahomes, but he's a great player. Ernie Accorsi, I think, is one of only two men in NFL history to pick a quarterback, two quarterbacks, or procure them in the draft. Two quarterbacks who went on to win Super Bowls, and that was obviously, of course, he drafted Elway in Baltimore, and then made the trade to get Eli Manning years later. There's, you know, an ironic coincidence there. And then George Young picked both Phil Simms and Jeff Hostetler. So, you know, we're talking about a short list of people who pick out great quarterbacks and find them. And, yeah, always frustrated by it. I don't think there's any question in the world. But there are some other great GMs in the history of this league. Ozzie Newsome, the best quarterback he ever picked was Joe Flacco. Now, Flacco came through and won a Super Bowl for him. Maybe Elway will get his chance. But I will say this. If you were to say you had a general manager for 10 years and you said, okay, the deal is I have him for 10 years, he wins a Super Bowl and goes to another one, would you say that that GM had done a pretty good job in that 10 years?
Absolutely.
I think most people would say, yeah. Yeah.
But it is
a stark contrast. You are absolutely correct. It is a stark contrast from the first 5 years to the second 5 years so far.
And just the fact that it's the quarterback position that is the one that he hasn't been able to answer. He's been able to answer a whole bunch of other ones that's led to a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl appearance, but the QB has eluded him. The name of the book, again, Elway, A Relentless Life, is on all your best bookshelves right now by our guest, Jason Cole. All right, sticking with quarterback questions, Aaron Rodgers, big bounce back game today. He last week played a great first quarter and then completely went in the tank against the Buccaneers. I thought he was going to have a big bounce back day today. He did. For me, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but he's also one of the most critiqued quarterbacks of all time. I continue to hear and read and see people who think that his better days are behind him and the like. Where is Aaron Rodgers at right now, in your opinion?
Top five in the league. I mean, I used to put him on a pedestal. Like, he's physically the most gifted. He was the most gifted quarterback in the league for a good, probably 7-8 year period of time. Like, he could make any throw that you wanted. He could do some magical things with the ball, just, you know, stunning things. You know, he can throw a football like a shortstop throwing a ball, you know, either into the hole or up the middle, right? Like, it's just stunning what he can do. Now, Mahomes has probably surpassed him in terms of physical skill right now, and that's mostly because of an age factor. You know, Rodgers gotten a little bit older, so he doesn't do things quite the same way, but he's not that far off. Look, if I had to go win a Super Bowl this year and you're asking me to pick quarterbacks, he's on a very short list of guys that I want to have. And I think the great shame of what's happening in Green Bay is that they didn't win more titles. And that between Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson, they couldn't find a way to get this done. And I think it frustrated Aaron Rodgers to no end. I do know part of, you know, dealing with him, he's a prickly guy who's hard to deal with, and some of that is on him. But they should have been able to find a solution here along the last 9 years since they won a title in the 2010 season. They should have won at least one other title during that time, and they didn't get it done. So that's a grand failure on the part of the Packers.
If we have another typical Packer year this year, like last year, where they win a division, they win a playoff game, they lose somewhere along the line, maybe back to the NFC Championship game. Who knows? Maybe even go to the Super Bowl, lose to the AFC opponent. Mm-hmm. Is Rodgers going to stick around, or is he going to say, look at what happened for Brady? If he ever loses to Brady in a playoff game this year, and Brady's pulling off what he's pulling off, stayed in one place forever, but then got a second act moving to another team, do you think that's what's going to happen between Green Bay and Rodgers?
No, not if they get into the deep end of the playoffs and another Super Bowl appearance. Like, you don't trade a quarterback coming off of that. And, look, you can think about everything you want about Jordan Love, but Jordan Love can sit while you've got a great quarterback. You don't mess that up. I mean, it's sort of like the end of it.
Right, but you've been doing this a long time, as have I.
Mm-hmm.
The players have a lot of say.
Sure.
If they don't want to be somewhere, someone like him can basically maneuver his way out of town. It would certainly be a pure Aaron Rodgers move. I'm asking you to factor that in. You're telling me Rodgers would be cool with Stan?
Look, these are sort of two different questions, because the first one I interpret is, would the Packers want to get rid of him? Well, I think the answer to that is no. You asked me, does Rodgers want to force his way out? Look, right now, I would just say he looks pretty happy with LaFleur, and if they can continue to work that out and his trust in LaFleur continues to grow, then I think it's possible he might stay, because I think he sees in LaFleur a guy who is thinking and advancing and making the team better, where he got frustrated with McCarthy. So he may be that, but he may also look around and say, look, you know, maybe I can go here, wherever that happens to be, you know, whatever that next up-and-coming team that has a lot of tools, he might do that. You know, we'll see what the kind of frustration is. Because, look, the end of the season is the thing that leaves the lingering effect. He's happy right now. You can see that he enjoys playing. He enjoys playing for LaFleur. But you don't know what that bitter taste is going to look like at the end of the season when you fail to achieve your dreams and your goals again, and depending on how it plays out. So the scenario you paint certainly could happen. Will it happen? I have no idea at this point in time.
Jason Cole for Florida Football Insiders, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, the aforementioned Mr. Brady, doing pretty good in Tampa. Beat Rodgers at his game last week and went out and beat the former Bucs coach, Mr. Gruden, today. Everything turning up roses for the Bucs last couple of weeks, except they signed Antonio Brown, which I've already voiced my opinion. I think it's a massive mistake. I think it's going to have more.
I'll disagree with you on that.
Really? You think it's going to work?
I don't think it's a giant mistake. I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm just saying that, look, Brady went out on a limb for this guy twice, because Brady defended him last year in New England because Brady wanted him really badly in New England, because Brady knew what kind of weapons he did and didn't have. He went out on a limb again for them this year and won the battle over Seattle with Russell Wilson and over Baltimore with Lamar Jackson and Hollywood Brown, who's, you know, Antonio Brown's cousin, right? So that's quite something. To me, if Antonio Brown steps out of line in any way, shape, or form, Brady's going to look at him and he's going to say, look, dude, I put my name behind you. If you screw this up, you're out and you're gone and I can't help you, and you're going to hurt yourself around the rest of the league. So, you know, don't screw this up. Don't bitch. Don't complain. Don't do any of that kind of stuff. And I'm not tolerating the stuff that you did with Ben. And I also think that Antonio realizes after what he's gone through basically the last 2 years, there are a lot of people around the league who are fed up with him. And he's going to have to get himself back in the good graces of the league if he wants to play. Now, look, Antonio's crazy. We all know that.
Yeah.
But I think for a short period of time on a incentive-laden contract, he can be controlled. I think he will keep it straight. The danger will come if somebody decides, oh, we're going to give him a lot of money, and we're going to pay him, and we're going to put him in a powerful position. Right now, he is not in a position of any kind of power at all, because they can just cut him if anything goes wrong.
They can, but there are at least three above-average wide receivers already in Tampa, one of the top 10 receivers in the league, one probably mm-hmm. pretty close to that, and Julian Edelman part due down there with Scotty Miller, and mm-hmm. two tight ends who are close to Pro Bowl level. Gronkowski's a Hall of Famer, and another tight end coming back from injury, and a couple pretty good running backs. When is Antonio Brown ever going to get the football? And if he does and starts to cut into these other guys who are spreading it around pretty thin to begin with, are you telling me there's going to be no unrest in that clubhouse?
Tom Brady walks in, and Tom Brady wields a big, big stick, to go back to the Teddy Roosevelt expression, right?
Okay.
If Brady walks in and says, you guys want to win a Super Bowl, everybody shut their mouth. When I throw you the ball, catch it. We will do whatever we need to do. We will win titles. And the roads around Tampa will be paved in gold for you if you do it my way and we succeed. You know, look, Scott Miller, he's gonna go sit. And he's going to take less balls. Okay, that's just the way it's going to be. Godwin and Evans, you know, can Evans stay healthy for an extended period of time? You know, that's a big question right now. They don't have a running back who can catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, if you watch any part of that, I mean, Fournette can't get open. And Ronald Jones, you know, has hands of clay. So they need another receiver on third down situations. You know, the tight ends are fine, but you know, you can't expect to be Gronk to be a guy who's going to catch 80 balls, and Brate's going to be terrific inside the 20, but he's not a go-to guy. And Howard, just go do your job. So I think that when you have a leader like Brady who has that kind of gravitas, he'll take care of the locker room.
All right. I hope it continues to play that way, because I still think there's going to be trouble in Mudville. But we shall see how it plays itself out. I'm not saying he deserves to win the award, but should Ben Roethlisberger's name at least start popping up in the conversation for MVP? The Pittsburgh Steelers, non-playoff team, below 500, or did they finish 8-8 last year? And now they're one of only two undefeated teams left in the NFL. They're basically the same team. They didn't make all that many changes, except Ben Roethlisberger came back and are undefeated. Shouldn't we be talking about him in at least MVP conversational terms?
Yeah. No question in my mind. Now, is he at the top of that list? No, I don't think so. But if you want to know the reason why they're a serious contender, he's it. Yeah, they got a terrific defense. I mean, they're loaded with talent on defense. I mean, now, losing Bush was kind of a tough one for them, and we'll see how they replace him. But, you know, the regular season doesn't allow you to play normal defense. But in the postseason, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be hell for teams defensively because of all the talent they've got. You know, with T.J. Watt and Fitzpatrick and all the other guys that they have. So they're terrific. Yeah, I mean, look, quarterbacks change everything. They just do. You know, when you have a great quarterback, it's like they're a great deodorant. They cover up a lot of things that stink on your team. And last year they didn't have a quarterback, and they stunk on offense. And now they got a quarterback, and you know, you see him putting up points and protecting that defense a little bit and making it easier for those guys to play. Yeah, he's in the conversation for MVP. Is he at the top? No, that's Russell Wilson. That's Aaron Rodgers. It's Tom Brady. Those guys like that. So I doubt Roethlisberger's going to win it. But he certainly deserves a place in the conversation.
In the conversation, that's all I'm asking. All right, last thing I want to run by you, and it's in overall football. You're a perfect guy to answer this because, like me, you've been following it forever. Someone's going to win the NFC East this year.
Really?
It may, yes, has to happen. It may be with six wins, like 6-9-1 for the Eagles could get it done. And that means they're going to get a host of playoff game against a team that's probably going to come in with double-digit wins, 10-6, or maybe even 11-5, and they're going to have to travel to Philadelphia because the Eagles are going to get a home playoff game because they won a division. We've been debating this for a long time. They like the integrity of divisions, but that just seems flat-out wrong and unfair. Will this be the year that the NFL finally addresses it? Is it going to take an Eagles win as a double-digit underdog at home to make something like that happen? How is it going to play out when the NFC East team gets a home playoff team in the home playoff game in the first round of the playoffs this year?
I think there's a huge appetite for discussion of this topic in sports radio. I think there is no appetite for this discussion among NFL owners.
Why?
Because they like the integrity of their divisions, and they don't really care about it.
All right. I'd like to hear from the owner whose team has to come in with 10 wins and play on the road.
And you don't have – what you need is 24.
Right.
I mean, look, it's a problem that comes up occasionally. And is there a better way to do this? It's like they used to have some really stupid rules where, like, they predetermined who hosted certain games in the playoffs based on whether they won a certain division a certain year. You remember back in the 70s. Like, the Miami Dolphins, when they went undefeated in the regular season in 1972, had to go on the road to Pittsburgh for their first playoff game. Like, that's one of those ones you go, come on, that's just dumb, all right? But they were going up against the division winner, at least. There is a belief that you have to respect the divisions. It's become more difficult because the divisions, you now have eight divisions instead of the old format when you had six. And so the eight distorts things and allows for occasionally teams that are 8-8, 7-9, even this year, some direct team. And you're right, there's probably going to be at least a 10-win team, more likely an 11-win team, because here's the other part of this. All those teams in the NFC East with all those terrible losses, it means that all those losses equate to wins somewhere else.
For somebody else, correct.
Right, and so you end up with wild card teams, you end up with division winners that are 14-2 and wild card teams that are 12-4. Right, that's what ends up happening when you have, especially one complete division when they're all terrible. Okay, so yeah, that's going to happen. Some team probably with 10, maybe 11, maybe even 12 wins is going to go into Philly or Dallas or one of these cities, whoever backs into this division, and it's going to happen. But the owner's going to look around and go, yeah, that's kind of a problem, but.
Okay.
How are we making money next year?
Maybe I've been doing sports talk radio too long, and that's why things like this do bug me and get
me moved. I think about it. I'm all for reseeding. Seeding 1-6 based on record and division winners get first dibs. But if you have a lesser record than a wild card team, no, you don't get to. You don't get the host game.
You don't get the home game.
That.
That's all I'm asking for.
Look, I agree with you. And we're on sports radio. So it's a great subject for sports talk radio. When you get into an NFL owners meeting, they're like, eh.
All right. Well, they're making billions. I'm not. So I guess I can continue to just bang my head against the wall.
It's good to be the king, Jody.
Yes, it surely is. All right, the king at covering the NFL, you got to check out his new book, John Elway biography, Elway, A Relentless Life, on all your better sports books shelves and on Amazon. Always a pleasure, Jason Cole. We will talk again, my friend. Thank you very much.
Hey, Don, Jody, be good. Thanks.
Jason Cole here with us on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.